of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Emmanuel Abba Great, a ministry that is ordained by God to take the gospel to the end of the earth.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I trust you slept well, and I believe that your day is definitely going to be great. We are here again on the Word of Faith, dissecting faith to the understanding of those who desire greater heights in God, exploit in this life. Because I believe none of us are here by accident. The worst thing I want is to go to heaven and meet God, and I'll tell him I labored for what to eat, what to drink. I labored for what to, you know, to make my life better here on it, which is still okay, but then that is entirely God's business. And today we're going to look at another aspect of faith, because we're drawing a curtain by tomorrow on this. The Word of God is the Word of Faith, but this particular topic, we'll draw a curtain on it tomorrow and then move into the next topic. But today I want us to take our text from the book of Matthew chapter 19 from verse 16. Yesterday we're looking at overcoming. So today we want to look at Matthew chapter 19 from verse 16, and it said, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" What good thing? You remember when I told you that the religion, the first lesson we had, I talked about religion being trying to ease its conscience. He said, what good thing what good thing shall I do? For a religious person, it's all about doing, that I may have eternal life. 17, and he said, unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, if thou wilt have eternal life, keep the commandment. 18, he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all this have I kept from my youth up. What lackest I yet? In other words, he has been able to keep the basics, the primary school stuffs. He has been able to keep it, the commandment. There are so many morally upright people, but they still lack something, which is the kingdom. Now, Jesus wanted to take him into the serious stuff, and he told him, he said, what lack I yet? Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, remember Jesus says that, be ye perfect, even as my Father is perfect. He said, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, this scripture is one of the most contended scripture ever since I came into this preaching work. I've come to realize that a lot of people have problem with this. How can I go and sell all that I have that I may give to the poor? But Jesus has not finished yet. He said, come and follow me. And I'm going to dissect that very soon. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. You see, the problem is not the possession. The problem is the heart of this man. The problem is the heart of this man. The heart of the man wants to use stuffs to serve God. But he's not ready to let go of the stuff so that God will take care of him. The Bible says, he that loveth me, Jesus said, he that serveth me, he will my Father honor. Material things cannot meet the standard of God. Where God is taking us to is a place where material will serve us, not we serving material. And that's why he said, you cannot serve two masters. One of the God that is contending with God Almighty on this earth is the God of money. And I'm telling you, not many people are delivered from it. The young man is morally upright. He has kept the commandments. He has done all this. But there's one he was not ready to let go of, and that is his possession. He was not ready to let it go. And God is not saying, oh, we should not have money. Believe me, God wants you to be very rich. But he doesn't want riches to have you, because the height of demonic oppression is when riches have you. When riches possess you, you cannot even tell what you can do. That's why we have a lot of corrupt politicians who can kill and do anything but just to stay there. The moment the heart of a man is possessed towards possession, you can't trust what that person can do. That is why Jesus wanted to deliver him from that. He wanted to deliver him from the possession of mammon. And he said, go and give it all out so that your trust will come under the leadership of God Almighty. He did the same thing with the children of Israel. He took them out of Egypt and took them through the wilderness. They learned trusting God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, trust the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. Trust the Lord your God and lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord your God with all and lean not on your own understanding. What your understanding can produce will only lead to poverty. You know, the litmus test for a man who truly, truly has found the kingdom of God, has found God, is that he is not possessed by his possession. The Bible says that where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. A lot of people are morally upright, very good in so many things. But one thing that God must not touch is their money. And that shows that the money is what is strong in the heart. Let me tell you, if you can be delivered from that, you are sorted in so many things. I remember one day I was still a young Christian. I went to church, and then my pastor was saying in the church, he said that today God is leading him that we should do something. And what we're going to do, we are all going to go before God and ask God what he wants us to do. Not our mind, not any. We should just ask God. But that we should look among our things, the things that we love most. And then whosoever God tells us to give, we should give it to the person. That God wants to deliver people from poverty. That they are holding on to the things. He actually used the word. He said, the good you have is the enemy of the best that is to come to you. I was a young Christian. I went home. I thought I loved the Lord. I thought I love him so much. You know, that I was ready to give anything. In fact, I got some new clothes then. I put them inside the plastic and then I prayed. And then I had one of my, the name of one of my cousins in my heart, you know. I don't know whether I made it up or, you know. And then I just packaged it and then I called him and gave it to him. He said we should give it to the person without putting our name on it. And if the person is in the church, then we should come and drop it in the church without putting our name. We should just put the name of the person. So I did that. I felt okay, I've done my own part. And I was singing a song in that morning, worshiping God to pray. And I started singing this song, more than anything, more than anything. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. More than worldly wealth, more than life itself. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. And I had the word right within my heart. He said, do you truly love me? I felt somebody, it's like somebody was behind me. So I turned, I thought somebody was there, but I did not see anybody. So I said, yes, Lord, I do. I love you. He said, do you truly love me? I said, yes, I love you. He said, okay, turn around. I turned around. And then he showed me a briefcase my sister just gave me. A very beautiful briefcase. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, use it to shine in the campus, you know, to just, you know, be one of the happening guys on campus. And God said, take it, wrap it, and he gave me the name of who to give it to. I say, oh God, that was when I knew I had something in my a possession that was still strong in my heart. You know, it was so difficult, but eventually I did it. And I tell you, I felt so good afterward. And after that, God has been leading me in doing one thing or the other that many times were not convenient, but it has helped me to break my life from poverty. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that when you can take a step to trust God, not minding what tomorrow will be, we've lost a lot of stuffs, you know, in a garage trying to, you know, keep our stuffs. Then every month you are paying while you are waiting to get a house. We've lost a lot of stuffs. And eventually I told myself, instead of us putting stuffs in the garage, it's better we sow them as seed into other people's lives. And I'm telling you, it has been working for us. Now, what am I trying to say here? If you want to be perfect, like Jesus told this man, you have to start searching your heart. What is that has possessed you? What is that has made it so difficult for you to trust God? Are you tithing? Are you tithing in your church? Because let me tell you, God cannot trust you with his riches if he cannot trust you as a steward. Because whatever you have, you are just a steward in his hand. You are a steward. He wants to see how you're going to use it. Are you going to bury it all for yourself? Keep it for yourself. When the kingdom needed it, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom. Please and please, whatever I'm sharing with you here is meant for your good. It has delivered me. There's nothing that I have in my hands that if God needed it, that cannot go. Nothing. My life has gone. My heart has entered. And I'm praying for you too. For you to survive the time we are in, you must learn to trust God fully. Not your insurance policy. Not your savings against retirement. All those things. Let me tell you, if God does not put his hand on any of the things we're doing, that's why he said, without him, we can do nothing. Except the Lord build a house, the builder builds in vain. Except the Lord watch over a city, the watchman watcher in vain. I listened to the news the other day, and I heard that Warren Buffett, or how is it called? Permit my pronunciation. Lost over $50 billion in this pandemic. $50 billion. That means a whole lot of what the man has been making all his life, he lost it. Proving the word of God to be true. proving the word of God to be true. He said, let your treasure be in heaven. Let me tell you, God wants you to be very rich here on it, but he doesn't want riches to control you. This young man left sorrowful because he had great possession, because he did not know the silver and the gold belongs to God. He knows where the money is. He knows where to take you to. He knows who you want to connect with your life. Don't be the architect of your own life. He has already taken that responsibility. Leave it for him. And I'm not saying, you know, you should not save. No. But first of all, let your heart be holy and giving to God, and you see the miracles. I'm sorry for the longer this thing today, but I want to tell you that you are blessed. You are blessed. Don't take these words for granted. I believe God is doing spiritual surgery in the heart of anyone who would have followed this thing now. God bless you. See you again and have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this life-impacting message. If you would like to partner with us or want to get more of this message, contact us on +27 840 240 365 or visit us on www.uppergreatworld.org, Upper Great World Ministries Incorporated.